Purple Royale. Purple is royal.
It's all about royalty.
The trans people are that royal.
Remember, we are loyal.
Nothing for us without us.
This is about us.
Love us just the way we are.
This is who we are.
We love who we are.
This is the time to speak.
This is the time to be heard.
Time for trans people to be heard.
This is Purple Royale.
Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Purple Royal Podcast, where we share with you touching, insightful, raw and real stories about transgender issues here in Zimbabwe. I'm your host, Tanaka. In this episode, you will hear a story about courage. Where sexual and reproductive health rights issues are concerned, you'd imagine things would be simple and black and white, but that's never the case. This is a story of a trans man based in Victoria Falls that will make you talk and think with more sensitivity about how you have a conversation about SRHR issues. We cannot assume that we all have the same experiences. To those who follow our episodes closely, the man behind the story is very familiar, our one and only Rastad Guy.
Hi everyone, this is Ras, hashtag RasThatGuy. I'm an ambulance technician, some would say paramedic. I work in one of the biggest medical institutions in Zimbabwe. I started working in this field in 2014, and this has taught me to understand the fragility of life, therefore the magnitude of my duty to take responsibility of my own health matters. Each year I religiously commit to doing a full medical checkup. The two procedures that I most dread or hate doing are pap smear and cervical cancer screening. The thing is, I'm a transgender man aged 35. When someone is looking at me, they see a cisgender man, a straight man. My voice has deepened in the last months because I've been on testosterone hormonal therapy for about 11 months now. This makes it even more difficult for me. When I did pap smear, a procedure that is used to detect potential precancerous and cancerous process in the cervix, my results came out negative, but the lab scientists still recommended that I have to do VIAG, which simply means that I was supposed to go for a more precise procedure. It involves the swabbing of the opening of the cervix with a vinegar-like solution of dilute acetic acid and using camera to record images. After some serious contemplation, on the 3rd of October 2019, I decided to go for VIAG. I woke up early in the morning feeling so nervous and overwhelmed. I've never been comfortable undressing in other people's presence. The thought of that procedure gave me goosebumps. Before leaving home, a thought of toning down my dressing to unisex crossed my mind, but I thought, it's high time, I just be me. I made up my mind, I went to the hospital. I thought I was early enough to be the first one there, but unfortunately there were four women already in the queue. I greeted them and joined the queue. I could see from their facial expression and they are whispering to one another that they were confused. Maybe they thought I was lost, but no one had the guts to ask me, so I ignored them. But deep inside me, I was so uneasy. Those 20 minutes that I waited for my turn felt like a century. I have got serious dysphoria for my chest. That discomfort or hatred for my chest is extremely depressing. It's not even easy for me to call them breasts, even worse, calling them boobs, not to mention my genitals. Now, these are a constant reminder of a body which I struggle with every day. When the nurses arrived, one of them recognized me. We are colleagues in a way, so she called me in first. She was with another female colleague inside. They jokingly said they always wanted to see if I am a hermaphrodite, if I've got double genitalia. In that moment, all my fears became reality. I thought of working out, but on a second thought, I convinced myself that I was doing this one right thing for me, for my own good. Those comments completely crushed me, and I wished that the ground could open up and swallow me. What made it even worse is that they even called more colleagues to witness in my hearing. I dreaded not taking a few shots of whiskey before going there, something to maybe numb the emotional pain I was feeling. The procedure was done. The way it's done is also a nightmare. So basically, they insert a cylinder-like object that opens the vulva. They swab the cervix with the solution. If precancerous cells are present, the solution turns to white. And then they insert a camera with a special lens through it and take pictures of the mouth of the cervix. The metal was cold. Let me say, I've never liked penetration of any sort, due to reasons known by me, and maybe that's a story for another day. The nurses went on passing comments about my genitals, and this I knew was because they had been curious about me since I started the hormonal treatment. That has caused more serious, noticeable changes in me. When the whole thing was done, I dressed up and walked out. And it still felt like I was naked. I was sad. I kept trying to comfort myself, trying to convince myself that I did the right thing. I shared my experiences with other brothers in our trans men WhatsApp group and the nurse friend that I work with. And they were so supportive. But I don't think I can really make peace with everything that happened unless I go and confront the people who made this experience. They made it so tragic for me. But I'm not a confrontational person. Some people do things without thinking. They don't realize how much they can destroy a person and how hard it can be to get over some things. My advice to you all is that let's give love. Let's spread love. Let's preach love. If you can't give love, at least try not to hurt someone. Hashtag trust that guy. Hashtag Raspa. Love and peace.
As a transgender woman, I can relate in so many ways to that story. In terms of seeking health services, especially in public health institutions, recently I visited a health institution, and during the consultation, the doctor assumed because I'm presenting to them as a male, it simply means I'm sleeping with females. And when that happens, it's already now awkward and hard to then review your gender or sexuality. I think it would be great for the healthcare providers to ask first their clients and not just assume. So, in each episode, we ask our character to take their story further by talking to someone who cares about what they had to share, someone they trust, or someone who allow us to see another side of the story. Russ chose to speak to a trusted friend and colleague who he called Sister Jane to protect her real identity.
From the particular incident that I shared with you, how do you think we could have handled that case? I still try to get over it. It's not easy. Me as a transgender person and as a nurse, how best can we deal with it?
Okay, I think this one was a breach of privacy. It wasn't supposed to have been handled that way. But we normally say people, you have to be friends with the people, with the clients whom we are meeting, so that you are able to assist them in a comfortable manner. So it was supposed to be handled by that one person who was dealing with the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
We are one of the at-risk groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we are supposed to be handled with care, so that next time you come and we will also be assisted with the same procedure. So now we are saying, which as nurses, at least we should treat everyone as individual. Mm-hmm. We are taught that. Even if we know the person, even if we don't know the person, you have to treat them as an individual, treat them with the confidentiality and privacy. It's very, very important as an individual. If there is an assistant, you need to ask the one being attended to whether you, do you want this assistant to be present or not. If not, that assistant has to go so that you are able to have that privacy on your own and the procedure done in a nice manner.
So, from what you said, would you actually advise other transgender people, be it trans men, trans women, to come for procedures like that? Maybe for trans women, they might look like women, they might identify as women, but they've got prostates.
Okay.
And with trans men, I might look like a woman or a man, but I'm a man. Would you actually advise either trans men to come for cervical cancer screening?
Okay, so it's very important for them to come so that we see what is happening. So like currently, the one who attended to you last time is not the one who's doing the procedures now.
Okay.
So it's a matter of saying, the one coming for the procedure, may you say it openly that may this be done. I'm comfortable with you alone.
Okay.
So that it's actually clear before you do anything, and you just have to open up to say, I'm this and this, may I be handled as such, so that it's clear. People, like Hata said, this is a small town. People are just shocked to see this going on for quite mm-hmm. a long time mm-hmm. now. Since I said people, if they are identified as transgender,
mm-hmm.
they move from this place to somewhere.
Yes.
But now they have stayed. This mm-hmm. was where they have stayed for some time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because of the treatment that they will receive within the hospital or mm-hmm. even in the community. So if that person is treated as such, as an individual, it's going to come back and get the services and even tell more people to come
mm-hmm.
because the people who are offering the services are not discriminating anyone.
Very eye-opening. I've actually learned a lot. I work in the medical field, of course, but you know, at times we overlook our rights, we just ignore mm-hmm. and we just comply with everything and anything that takes place. You mentioned the post basic courses that you did.
Yes.
Maybe my next question is, how long have you been in the nursing field? You've known me and my sexuality, and like I said, you've always been willing to assist me. Have you had any other encounters with transgender people who come to you maybe needing help, or in terms of health services, anyone who has ever approached you?
Okay, if I answer the first question, I've been in this industry for 15 years plus.
That's a long time.
Yes, it is a long time, and I've worked in Wange. I've also done trainings in Bulawayo and Harare.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm working here permanently. Mm-hmm. So I like I said, this is a small town. We rarely see such moves.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the small number of people that we see.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be curious to see how are they really going to proceed with what they are doing,
mm-hmm.
or we are going to drop what you are doing, because most people whom we have seen, they have moved away from this place.
Okay.
Because of the stigmatization,
mm-hmm.
and they have gone somewhere.
Yeah.
Where they're not stigmatized, or where there are more people who are doing the transgender thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now, since you are one of the few people here, we're seeing what I'm seeing is the guts that you have to actually transit in this small community mm-hmm. where people talk,
mm-hmm.
and you are actually carrying on with the transit despite all the talks that people are saying. You are moving on.
Mm-hmm.
So we encounter those people just for briefly,
mm-hmm.
but they move to other areas where they are comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes. So the move that you are doing, you are just going to bring more people who are going to open up because they've been hiding because of the stigmatization. Now I'm thinking, since they are seeing the move that you have, they are going to come up in the open, mm-hmm. and also do what you're doing if they think it's fit. But people have been moving away from this place.
Very true.
It's a small place. They think you are going to deaden this place. So mm-hmm. go somewhere where this is practiced. So mostly in bigger cities, people go there and they are many. Mm-hmm. But in small towns like this one, a few who were there, a few whom I have seen, mm-hmm. have gone.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for your time, Sister Jane. I'm sure I'll actually refer other people to come here for the medical checkups. We actually need that. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. This is Russ, hashtag Russ That Guy.
I wish most healthcare providers had such an understanding. It would really make trans lives easier. Sharing these trans experiences, like what Russ has so bravely done, is a building block to a better tomorrow for the transgender community. We need to put our stories out there so that the rest of the world get to understand our different yet relatable struggles. The former First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, shares a personal story in the book Becoming. She says, "There is no one who can tell your story better than yourself." In Zimbabwe and the rest of the world, there are so many transgender people who are hungry for connection, and we can all connect by sharing our stories. We can also change the society narratives and correct the injustice by sharing our real lived-in realities. And as Paper Royal, we love to hear from you. Let us know how this story made you feel. Please share the link of this episode with all your friends, family, colleagues, and anyone else you think can benefit from this story. Your feedback and support is very important to us. Follow us on our social media platforms on Facebook and on Instagram. We are Paper Royal Podcast. And to also keep producing these stories, we need your assistance. Feel free to donate or contribute in any way possible so that we can continue to produce this great podcast for you. I am your host, Tanaka. Thank you for listening. Until the next episode, take care.